Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps.
Beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring amazing special guests from the cast and crew.
After that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben and Adam.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back in, 92.9 The Game. It's Abe Gordon here live. Hall A of the Georgia World Congress Center. They call it Playoff Fan Central. Of course, they got everything you need here. They got the souvenir stand. You got an opportunity to try your luck at the field goal kick. They got some routes you can run, quarterback toss. They got Chick-fil-A here, which is nice. And all sorts of other stuff, all sorts of other goodies here. To check out. If you're coming down for the game tonight, maybe come down a couple hours early and hang out here at Playoff Fan Central before you head over to the stadium. Of course, Notre Dame and Ohio State meeting for college football's national championship game tonight. And, you know, the ESPN crowd is here. They're doing a show not too far from us. And one of the questions they've been asking a fair amount today is, Notre Dame have a chance? Now, they ask it a little bit more respectful manner than that. But what they're really asking is, does Notre Dame have any chance at all? And look, I mentioned it. I picked Ohio State. I think Ohio State's going to win this game. But it's not in a world where I don't think Notre Dame has no chance. I think absolutely Notre Dame could win this game. I think there's a couple specific facets I look at. And we talked about it. Like, if their secondary, the number two passing defense in the entire country, can match up with those receivers and not have to focus solely on Jeremiah Smith, if they can succeed one-on-one. But also, I think if you can get Will Howard to make some mistakes with his passing, I think that could play itself a role, too. I think there are certainly ways in which Notre Dame can win. Obviously, special teams has been a factor, a huge factor for Notre Dame. Throughout the course of their run, obviously the kickoff return against Georgia was a big one, but their kicking game has been very good as well. And Jeremiah Love, man, while I think it's going to be tough sledding for him in the middle of the field trying to run against Ohio State, if he can get loose, he certainly has some home run potential. So I think it's going to be a very good game. Ultimately, I do think Ohio State pulls away late. That's what's going on tonight in Atlanta. What happened Saturday night in Atlanta was the naming of a defensive coordinator, Jeff Ulbrich, former Falcons linebacker coach, former Jets defensive coordinator, also served as an interim head coach for the Jets when they fired Robert Saleh this year. He's been in the building at Flowery Branch. He's familiar to Raheem Morris. That does not mean it's a bad hire. It might, by the way. I'm not saying it's a great hire. I'm not saying I have. I'm just saying just because they know each other doesn't automatically say, you know, this guy's a bum. They only got hired because they're boys. No, he's had a pretty good run as defensive coordinator for the Jets. I don't think we can ignore that while talking about that. But that was one of the questions I had about this Falcons offseason. And when you look at it, and the question I have is, what's the most important factor for the Falcons to have a successful offseason? 404-726-0929 if you want to get involved. 404-726-0929. What's the biggest step for a huge Falcons offseason? And look, I wrote this segment up before Saturday night, before they hired Jeff Ulbrich, but I did, you know, edit it down a little bit. But one of the questions, one of the possibilities was defensive coordinator hire. Where does that rank among the important factors for a Falcons offseason? I think here are the others. I'll list them and then we'll talk our way through them, right? My list of five, and you can add something else if you'd like as well. My list of five checklist items for a potential big offseason for the Falcons include the defensive coordinator hire, which has been made, getting away from Kirk Cousins' salary if possible, the NFL draft, adding to defense either in free agency or via a trade, and then the decision whether or not to bring back guys who are one-year deals. And specifically, I'm looking at Justin Simmons, the safety, and Matthew Judon, the pass rusher. And so those are my five factors for a big Falcons offseason. 404-726-0929. So now let's go through it and kind of discuss how we should rank these things. The defensive coordinator hire, Jeff Ulbrich. Look, I think it's significant. I don't think it could be number one. And I say that because I mentioned earlier, I think a defensive coordinator is only going to be as good or as bad as his players. I think he's always going to be limited. And so while it's important to get your D coordinator higher and hopefully get a guy that can improve some facets of that defense, there's a couple of other factors that I threw out there that maybe can help him, that can help the defense. If you ask me, all right, we can hit a home run on one thing, but only one, the draft or your D coordinator hire, it's not going to be the D coordinator hire. Because if you draft the next Aaron Donald, I can coach that guy to 12 and a half sacks. You see what I'm saying? Like as much as I think the D coordinator is going to have an impact on this team, and he will, I also think that the player is going to have a bigger impact. All right, so that's where I stand on the D coordinator hire. What about getting away from Kirk Cousins' salary? Is it even possible? I think it's possible. I think you can get away from his salary, and obviously not all of it. I'm not talking about zero-sum salary here. But can you save yourself some money? And there's only one way that happens. And that is if you are willing to do what Terry Fontenot said you're willing to do, and that is keep him on as a backup. I think if he is on your roster well past the deadline for his $10 million guarantee and well past the idea where teams want Kirk Cousins. You may not believe this out there. There are teams that are interested in Kirk Cousins. They're interested in Kirk Cousins the same way they were interested in Russell Wilson. League minimum. We pay most of the salary. They get a one-year deal. It costs them like $3 million or $2 million, and they get Kirk Cousins. If you're willing to keep Kirk Cousins as a backup and take on the entire chunk of the salary, and I'm not saying they really are willing to do this. I'm saying this is the only way that, in the end, you actually would get away from a bigger portion of the salary. They think you're bluffing. Don't bluff. Keep them. Keep them. And if you want them, we can have talks. We can have discussions. There are going to be some teams that are interested in Kirk Cousins. Believe it or not. But am I willing? Again, it's not my money. I'm not the one managing the cap. Am I willing to just give them Kirk Cousins for $1.5 million, $2 million, whatever Russell Wilson made this year? Nah. We'll talk about it. We can pay some of the salary. You can pay some of the salary. We'll figure it out. The NFL draft. In the end, I think this is still going to be the biggest factor for a huge offseason. You're not hiring a head coach. You're hiring a defensive coordinator. It's not the same discussion as we had last year. You're hiring a D coordinator. And so I think the NFL draft is the most important factor for the Falcons to have a successful offseason. That, of course, being assuming they don't screw it up. I mean, that's really what it boils down to, because I'm sitting here saying, like, this guy has to be a defensive player, right? And I know we probably want to search, like, more than just a defensive player. It has to be a pass rusher. If you take the top corner at 15, I think I can understand that. I think I can argue that away. There's a world in which they take an O-lineman, and, like, I can understand it. It's not very juicy, though. Like the O-line is not great, despite however many times John Fricke wants to say it's one of the top five offensive lines in football. He's wrong. But they're not that bad. They're not top five. But they're not that bad. I think you can continue to live with what you have along the offensive line. And if you want to make improvements, make improvements. I don't know if I'm doing that in the first round, not considering the weaknesses that this team already has. So, it's got to be a defensive player, in my opinion. I can't. I saw a mock draft with another receiver, and I'm going to lose my mind. And sometimes people just make – they don't make actual mock drafts. They just make big boards and just line them up, regardless of what the team needs. Like, if they take a receiver at 15, I might renounce my fanhood.
So, as a longstanding Falcon fan, if they take another receiver at 15 – you won't be the only one.
Yeah, like, I feel like we can get, like, I don't know, a Facebook group or a support group of, like, one of those, like, can we create that petition? Aren't petitions, like, if you get 100,000 people, it becomes, like, it's a real thing? Can we get a petition to be, like, we will not be Falcons fans if they draft a receiver at 15?
But going back to your point about the defense, yes, the pass rush is great. We would love a pass rush. Also, we need a corner, yes. But at some point in time, and this is just has always been my thing, the Atlanta Falcons has never been able to stop the run at any point in time. So, while it may not be the first round, I'm not saying by any means try to draft a D-tackle first round, but I'm saying at some point in time during the draft or free agency, you need to solidify that middle. To where you're playing on the other side of the
scrimmage. Yeah, they started out decently at that last year, and Onyemata kind of fell off. He got injured last year, and then he was okay this year. He wasn't much. I know you got Rukurororo that maybe is supposed to be a bigger part of the run game than necessarily a pass rusher. The problem with the pass rush is I don't know what we can expect from Braylon Trice. I had very high hopes for him. He gets injured before the year. The pass rush is not very good. They eventually kind of wake up for whatever reason, and then they obviously were silent in that last game of the season, as was much of the defense. But you try and gauge what's real, what wasn't. Is Braylon Trice going to be good enough to make up for it? Like, is he the guy that's our Jared Verse? He just didn't get an opportunity to play this past season. That remains to be seen. But the NFL draft has got to be the biggest factor for me. Can you add to the defense in free agency? And we'll combine these last two. Justin Simmons, Matthew Judon, you got last year, one via trade, one in free agency. Are you going to bring those guys back? Do you have money to bring these guys back if you can't get away from Kirk Cousins' salary? And it's one of those things where that might be the bluff that has to be called, is you just have to get away from some of the salary so you can start to spend a little bit before guys go elsewhere. Again, it's not my money. I don't have to run the cap. I don't care. I'm going to be selfish. I'm not giving Kirk Cousins to another team for the league minimum. And if they want him, they can come get him. If not, he can be my backup. I think we've seen Michael Penix talk at a pretty high rate about how impactful Kirk Cousins has been, even after he became after Kirk was benched and Penix was the starting quarterback. If he's willing to do that again, still make his $40 million, like, so be it. Like, I'm not letting some other team have him for $1.5 million. So that's just me.
To your point, who's to say we don't need Kirk Cousins again at some point during the season next season?
You trying to tell me you don't believe in Caleb McGarry as a blindside? is that what you're telling me?
I'm just saying there may be a point in time. A stretch, maybe a couple games.
You're not holding him on for $40 million because of that. If
no,
you can get away
no.
from the money, you would. So it's just a matter of whether or not you're petty like me. And far from me, because I call everyone else petty and try not to judge. But, like, I'm just not giving him away for $1.5 million. And so you're gonna have to come get that a little bit. All right, when we come back, there are head coach openings in the NFL, and they could start to get filled pretty quickly. I want to take a look at some of these situations. We've got one filled already, Mike Vrabel and the Patriots. I want to talk about some of the situations, which job I feel might be the best or worst ones available. That's coming up next. It's Abe Gordon here, live at Playoff Fan Central, World Congress Center, Hall A, on Sports Radio 929 The Game and the Odyssey app.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Welcome back in, 92.9 The Game. It's Abe Gordon here at the Georgia World Congress Center. Playoff Fan Central, what you previously may have called the Fan Experience or Fan Fest, here for the college football playoffs. It's mostly green and mostly red, as you would expect here today. Yesterday I saw a Michigan fan. That guy was reading his own book. I don't know what's going on. He's in the wrong movie. I don't know what's happening with that guy. But we are here live right near the Golden Football Field. Gold, not for Notre Dame, as I mentioned, but for College Football Playoff Trophy gold. Getting ready for tonight's national championship game, Ohio State and Notre Dame. And I feel pretty validated. And I've talked about this a couple of times on College Football Game Time. I feel pretty validated because I was on the Notre Dame train pretty early after they had lost to Northern Illinois. I remember where I was watching them lose. Our guy Oren, I was over at his house. I think his son had a birthday party or something. I was watching Northern Illinois just take it to Notre Dame. You're like, what? They're going to come back, right? Like, surely. Didn't happen. And I think a lot of people slept on Notre Dame the rest of the season. I was not one of them. As you guys know, I have four TVs. I watch a lot of football. I watch a lot of college football. And like I said at the start of the show, this is probably one of the most entertaining, enjoyable seasons that I've ever had. And I watched as much college football this year probably as I have in a long, long time. And I was watching Notre Dame a couple of weeks after that loss, and I'm like, man, these guys move. Man, these guys hit. And these guys don't give up extra yards. They stop the run. They're pretty feisty in the secondary. Like, this is just a good team. I've been familiar with Riley Leonard for a while. I've liked him. I think he's a great playmaker. I think if you can get the ball, and this is why I think Notre Dame might have a chance tonight. I think if you can get the ball into his hands in the fourth quarter in a tight game, I think he can make plays, and you see what happens. And I didn't want to say this in front of Fricky because he'd have to yell at me. I think that Riley Leonard's got a lot of tendencies of Baker Mayfield. And Baker Mayfield's not the best quarterback in the NFL. But I'll tell you what, like, in the fourth quarter of a close game, like, Baker more often than not gets it done. He finds a way. He's a gamer. He's a playmaker. I see a lot of that in Riley Leonard. That's not the biggest compliment in the world, but it's not an insult either. Like, Baker finds ways to win games, and I think Riley Leonard can as well. I'm not saying tonight necessarily, but you feel decent if you got this guy the ball with an opportunity late. And so I was very – early on, I was like, I actually do think Notre Dame's got a chance, like, to win this all. Like, because we're probably midway through the season. It would have been after Georgia had beaten Texas. It would have been that week. And it was like, all right, how many of these teams can win the national championship? Like, how many teams can actually win the national championship? I had a list of, like, six teams that can win the national championship. And Alabama wasn't one. It was Oregon. It was Ohio State, it was Georgia, it was Texas, it was Notre Dame, and I'm missing one. I don't remember who it was. It wasn't Penn State, it wasn't Miami, it wasn't Alabama, it wasn't Boise. There's someone that I'm missing. I just don't remember who it was. But I had a list of six, and Notre Dame was on that list, and here they are left standing. And again, good defense, run the ball, old school football, man. Like I mean, Notre Dame football, right? Like who are we kidding? Run the ball, play defense, but a little bit of old school, and they've found themselves into the national championship game against a team in Ohio State that can kind of do all of it. They can run the ball. They can play defense, but also they've got multiple first-round talent in that wide receiving core, and they can chop you up that way. I'm really excited for this game tonight. I'm excited to be here at Playoff Fan Central as well. We're talking about the NFL head coach openings, and these now are a bunch of jobs that could get filled pretty quickly. If you think about the list of candidates right now that is available to be interviewed, it's, I would say, a different list than maybe you thought would be available, right? Baltimore Ravens are out. What's that mean? Todd Monken, able to take interviews. Detroit Lions are out. What's that mean? Aaron Glenn, the DC, Ben Johnson, the OC, able to take interviews. And so I think, and we've seen a second round of interviews start to be had at some of these teams as well. I think you're going to see these jobs start to fill out relatively quickly this season. And we've had one already been filled. That's by the Patriots. To no surprise, it was Mike Vrabel. Here's the thing. When I look at some of these jobs, and I kind of look at, is it a good job to take right now? Now, there's 32 of these things. Every NFL head coaching job is a good job, but let's also not treat all of them as equal. Like, I think you could admit that, right? The Patriots. And look, I went with a very small micro look at whether this job's a good job or bad job right now. I went with your current quarterback, and maybe not current, but your quarterback situation moving forward. And I also went with where you are in the draft this year. And look, I think if we've learned anything from the Commanders' run, I think ownership matters too, right? I think ownership matters too. Obviously, they have Jaden Daniels. That matters. I mean, that's where having a high pick matters. But ownership matters too. And so, but we're not going to get this that deep into these discussions. But here are the jobs, right? Patriots, they got Drake May at quarterback. They got pick number four. They got a great setup at quarterback. I think Drake May is a player. I think they need a lot of help. I think they're a long way away from being competitive, especially in the division that they're in. And so I think they need a lot of help. And but Vrabel's going to have quite a long leash because you got an owner that just fired a head coach that he was kind of tight with after 1 year. Like, they're going to give Vrabel a leash. And so you got that going for you. Jaguars, you got your quarterback, right? Trevor Lawrence, we think. And you got pick number five. You got a winnable division every single year. That's the other thing about this. Tennessee, Houston, they're good. Like, Houston won that division like week 10 when they were like 7-7 or something. Like, I mean, obviously 7-7 is 14 games. But, like, you get my point. Like, I was like, man, Houston's really fallen off. And then the next week I'm like, oh, they clinched a playoff spot. How about that? You got to remember what Houston was last year in the playoff run, and C.J. Stroud. Like, everyone's like, Houston might be a dark horse for the Super Bowl next year. No, like, they took a step backwards, and then I was like, man, Houston's not like a problem for anyone, are they? And then, like, literally next week, I'm like, oh, they clinched the playoff spot. How about that? That's how bad the AFC South is. The Raiders, big time question mark at quarterback, I would say, right? I don't think Gardner Minshew, Aiden O'Connell, or Desmond Ridder are your future, and you got the number six pick. Number six pick in a draft that has two quarterbacks, not great. Number six pick last year in a draft that had five or six quarterbacks, awesome. Number six pick this year, not ideal. You would imagine both Cam Ward and Shador are gone. At that point, you're dealing with offensive line, you know, defensive pass rusher. If you want a receiver, you traded away Devontae Adams. You get a receiver to go alongside Brock Bowers, and you deal with your quarterback situation maybe at the front of the second round. I think you start to have a discussion. I think there's also, I don't know, Kirk Cousins, other guys that you could trade for, Joe Milton, J.J. McCarthy. The J.J. McCarthy thing is its own discussion. I think you get the point, though. New Orleans Saints. I don't know what the quarterback situation is. I know in the immediacy you have Derek Carr. Spencer Rattler didn't really look like the quarterback of the future either. So you got question marks at quarterback. You got the Jaguars had pick number five. Raiders pick number six. Saints are at nine. So you don't know who your quarterback is, and you're behind other teams that need quarterbacks, and you're picking number nine. I think you got a pretty good defense. I think you're very clearly the third best team in your division and quite possibly the fourth best team in your division. If Bryce Young looks legit and they're starting to build things up from there, you might be the bottom of this division. You look at the New York Jets. Maybe it's Aaron Rodgers, but like even that's very short term. I would say it's a question mark at quarterback moving forward. And you have pick number seven. And so, again, in a very top-heavy two-quarterback draft, not going to get a quarterback there. Maybe I don't even know. What is the backup there? Is it Tim Boyle? I'm trying to remember who they played as a backup. It doesn't matter. They don't have a plan at quarterback. They don't have a guy for the future, and they're probably not going to be able to draft one this year unless they make some trades. You got the Bears. Caleb Williams, a quarterback. All right, you got a starting point. You got the number 10 pick. You have a pretty good receiving core already. You got some nice pieces in defense, Jalen Johnson, and on the defensive front. I think the Bears is a team that can be turned around relatively quickly, but you are dealing with a really tough division. You got the Vikings, who we'll see what they do with quarterback, but you've got the Lions, and then you've also got the Packers, who are kind of overlooked based on how quickly they were in and out, but That's a tough team, too. And then the Cowboys. You're stuck with Dak Prescott at quarterback. I don't know if that's good or bad. It may not be either. You got CeeDee Lamb, who today I think is happy, but, like, who knows tomorrow. And you got pick number 12. The bigger issue for the Cowboys and the quality of their job is the ownership. And I think that's what we're falling into in terms of Jerry Jones and maybe some hesitancy. I'm a little surprised they actually did get away from Mike McCarthy when all was said and done. They didn't have to pay him anything, though. They just kind of let the contract float on out the window, and there they go. All right, when we come back, we're going to continue the Atlanta Falcons conversation. Joe Patrick, 92.9 The Game, beat reporter for the Falcons, is going to join us. Going to certainly talk about the Ulbrich hire with him, a couple other aspects about that. But also a little bit of Atlanta United, and Joe Patrick being a Buckeye fan, we'll talk to him about tonight's championship game as well. It's Abe Gordon, live from Playoff Fan Central, continuing till 2:30 on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game in the Odyssey app. Welcome back in, 92.9 The Game, Playoff Fan Central here. It's Abe Gordon live, not in the Kia Studios today, here at the Georgia World Congress Center Hall A for Playoff Fan Central. Of course, gearing up for what should be an outstanding national championship game tonight, Ohio State and Notre Dame. I know my next guest is hoping it's not a fun, enjoyable game, but a blowout in which he can kind of kick his legs back about 12 minutes into this one. It is Joe Patrick, 92.9 The Game, Atlanta Falcons reporter, also noted Buckeye fan. We'll talk about Ohio State and the opportunity they have in front of him, later in the show, or later in this interview. I do want to start, though, Joe, with the obvious news of the weekend. And let me just start here. Jeff Ulbrich hired as Falcons defensive coordinator. Maybe you have more insight into this. Maybe this is just how it presented itself. 7:44 p.m. on Saturday night is the ideal time to release that news, Joe?
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know if that was kind of on purpose to try to get it to kind of be out of the news as much as possible, but you know that we're going to be talking about it pretty much all week and going forward, because it's obviously a massive hire for Raheem Morris and such an important hire. You know, the whole point of Raheem Morris, at least from my perspective, but I think this is correct, is that he's been a guy who's been around the NFL, been around some of the best coaches, and has a certain tactical acumen about, you know, the best way to play football, frankly, on offense and defense. And his ability, therefore, is to be the CEO of this team as a guy who's not an offensive play caller, and to be able to bring in the most talented coaches that he sees around the NFL and the most innovative minds. And I think that that's where people are having issues with this hire, where Jeff Ulbrich is, you know, I don't want to say he's not that, but he's just been a guy who has worked with Raheem in the past, who he has, like, a friendly relationship probably off the field, just like Raheem Morris had with Jimmy Lake. And so I think that for some of those reasons, these, you know, there's not the greatest vibes around this announcement, which is disappointing for an organization that kind of needs some better vibes around them after the way the season ended.
Yeah, and I think people are discrediting a couple of factors here, and everyone just wants, feels like they wanted to be mad at this hire as soon as it was announced, and I, you may right. have had different preferences as to some of the names, Wink Martindale or Steve Wilks or Matt Eberflus or whoever it would have been, but I think people are just kind of looking at this as a buddy-buddy hire. It's a guy that's worked with Raheem Moore, so he's just getting giving him the gig, and I don't think that's a fair conversation. I think this is a guy that I would include as an experienced DC. This is a guy that did turn around a defense that was worst in the NFL in scoring and points to top five in scoring and points in 1 year. And that being his first year with the Jets. This is a guy that has defensive play calling experience. I think a lot of people are viewing this as a buddy-buddy hire and just completely discrediting what Ulbrich actually has done as a D coordinator in the last 4 years in New York.
Yeah, no, I totally agree, Abe. You know, I feel like it's one of those things where a certain narrative forms right away from people, maybe it's, the hosts at our radio station, maybe it's other, outlets that Falcons fans follow. But then, there's kind of been this coalescing over this narrative about Jeff Ulbrich. And I think you're right. You know, like a lot of the things that people were talking about possibly about Steve Wilks, for example, is something that also fits Jeff Ulbrich in terms of, having had higher responsibilities in terms of like being an interim head coach, as both of them has been, and Jeff Ulbrich was this year. And so, and like you said, he's got certainly a lot of positives on the resume. I think that what this comes back to, Abe, is just the idea of the Falcons in the minds of their fans and being an organization that needs something different than what they've been. Because in a lot of circumstances, you would say this would be considered as a positive of, this defense coordinator's hire has worked with the head coach before. They've got the familiarity. He can hit the ground running. He's even coached here before for this organization. So all these things are positive. But when it comes to the Falcons, it's like, okay, but you're talking about an organization that is one of the longest playoff droughts in the league right now. I think that a lot of Falcons fans want people who are different from what the Falcons have been. And obviously, Jeff Ulbrich has so many ties to the organization and to Raheem. I think that's kind of where the narrative forms, but I don't think it's actually related to, his competency as a defensive coordinator, his ability to call plays for a league-leading defense, which he's done in New York. And so, I think that there's a lot of ways this defense can still go. They're going to need to improve the roster and just get the better players on the defensive side of the football. But I think ultimately what Raheem sees and why they went with this hire, and we'll get more info when we talk to these guys, these decision makers, later on this offseason. But, it's simply someone who is able to carry out Raheem Morris's vision of, the defensive scheme that he wants to run. And so while I think Jeff Ulbrich's getting a lot of heat and certainly Raheem Morris is, ultimately Raheem Morris has the accountability and he's going to be judged for it one way or the other after this season. And he knows that. So, hey, you would have to think that if Raheem Morris knows that his job is potentially riding with this hire, he made the hire that he thinks is going to do the best for this organization and for his own future here in Atlanta.
Yeah, and you mentioned trying something different here with the defensive coordinator hire, maybe someone less familiar, a different voice, et cetera, et cetera. How about trying to draft someone that can play defense? Maybe that would be something different that the Falcons should try. Instead of worrying about whether or not these two have... Yeah, well, we're also worried about whether these two have worked together or not. And I've heard you before on the station over the past couple of days, Joe. I'm not yelling at you. I know you agree with me, but like a defensive coordinator's only going to do so much if your talent's the same. Like if you're not drafting studs, and I made this joke earlier, like I can defensive coordinate Aaron Donald to 12 and a half sacks. Like if you have great players, the coordinator overall is largely not going to matter. That'd be the ideal situation, is to have a defense so good, so locked up, that you don't even have to question the play calls or this or that. It's really just about that you have talent. And right now we're asking Jeff Ulbrich to come in on a defense that, maybe they'll have better talent. You would certainly hope next year, but if not, what do you expect him to take this to a top five defense with what they have? That's just not realistic. So as much as the coordinator hire is going to come under fire because this is a guy we know, if this is a Raheem decision, Terry Fontenot doesn't make the right decisions, Ulbrich's not going to work out because you don't have the talent.
Right. Right. Totally agree. And, you know, some people that critics of this appointment or this hire will point to, like, oh, well, Jeff Ulbrich's really only had success when he's had these great players with him, like in New York, where, you know, the investments they've made on that side of the football. And it's like, well, yeah, like that's football. The game is about the Jimmys and the Joes more than it's about the X's and the O's. You hope that the X's and the O's kind of elevate what you have on the roster, but ultimately you've got to have the players on that side of the ball who are able to make plays. And we saw players, you know, be at fault for a lot of the issues that the Falcons have had on defense, not just last year, but just going back years. It's, you know, just not having the talent, not being able to make plays in certain situations. So you just hope that Jeff Ulbrich's able to put together whatever the talent ends up being on that defensive side of football, because I think there will be a lot of shaking up on the roster on that side. Whoever he ends up with, you just want to see them put in the best positions to succeed. And I feel like, you know, that was coming out of the Jimmy Lake experience. Felt like that was not the case with him, where you had, you know, edge defenders running downfield with running backs and such. You hope to kind of get that, some of that stuff cleaned up. Maybe it's a lot simpler looking defense with just kind of like more of a Ryan Nielsen style, you know, four big defensive linemen. You play man to man and, you know, may the best man win.
It is Joe Patrick, 92.9 The Game, Atlanta Falcons reporter and insider on the WadeFord.com hotline. And one more quick thing about Jeff Ulbrich. I mentioned it throughout the course of the show. He takes over in 2021 at the Jets. They're the worst defense in the NFL. The very next year, they're one of the best. Top five in scoring, top five in yards. They drafted Sauce Gardner, fourth overall in that draft, between when they were the worst defense overall and one of the best defenses overall. Is there anything about Jeff Ulbrich one way or another? And I know it's certainly not his decision and his decision alone, but even Raheem being a DB guy, if you want to call him that, that makes you believe they might at 15, assuming that we're not in some sort of simulation where they actually draft another offensive player. If they do go defense, do you feel there's a lean right now? It would be pass rusher versus we've seen historically, maybe for Ulbrich with Sauce Gardner, it working out with a top-ranked corner.
Yeah, I think it's probably a pass rusher. Like I'm almost certain that that's what it's going to be. Even though I frankly think that, you know, finding a corner, especially a nickel corner, I'm actually less concerned about the corner, the outside corner opposite AJ, as I am the nickel corner, where this team was really burned and could not find a suitable player for that role last year. But the reason I think it's pass rusher is kind of twofold. Obviously, one is just we all know the importance of having that premier pass rusher, and I do think it's a pretty strong class from what it seems in that edge rushing group, and I think that where the Falcons are picking, they're going to have some really interesting players to look at that position. But also, I think when you look at the rest of the roster, you look at guys like Arnold Ebiketie, who's going to be coming into the last year of his rookie deal next year. You know, you've got to be in a situation where you either know who your kind of dominant edge rusher is going to be going forward, whether that is going to be AK, or that you need to kind of complement him with another premier young player and be willing to move off of AK and maybe pick up a compensatory draft pick if you do want to let him go to free agency. So, you know, lots of different ways the Falcons could go about this thing, but I do think that with the players that are going to be there for where they're picking, and I know they're going to want to trade down, but even if they trade down, I think that there's going to be edge defenders there that they'll like and be willing to put on this roster.
I'm sure a trade down will sit very well with the fans. I'm sure that will. That'd be awesome. Joe Patrick, 92.9 The Game, Falcons reporter, insider, but also an Ohio State fan, but also an Atlanta United feller. And so we're going to talk real quick. And look, there's discussions of Miggy. There's discussions of Latte Lath, potentially both of them joining. Let's just go all high and mighty. Let's say Atlanta United finds a deal for both of these guys. If you add both of them into the attack, what are the expectations up top for Atlanta United?
I mean, it's extremely lofty. Like, I think you're looking at one of the best, if not the best, collection of talents in the attack in MLS. And, you know, while they haven't proven it, I do think you would have to go out and assume that those players are going to be able to go out there and score, you know, upwards of 60 goals for you amongst, you know, the league leaders, and potentially even, you know, but again, potentially being like a record-breaking type of group. And I only say that because we know the quality of Miguel Almiron. You know, like, he hasn't played in the league in 6 years, but Atlanta United was that league-leading, that all-time league-leading offensive attack when they had a player like him in the fold. And when you talk about a striker like Emmanuel Latte Last, I know this might sound sacrilegious to a lot of people, but he is a more talented striker right now than what Joseph Martinez was when he came to Atlanta United in 2017. Now, if he's able to actually have the same production as Joseph is to be determined, but he is a very similar type of striker where he's got that poacher's ability, whether that's running in behind the defensive line or cleverly finishing with his head in the box, even though he's not the biggest guy, he can just score from all angles. And he did it again this weekend for Middlesbrough, scoring really nicely against Portsmouth, his 11th goal of the season. So he's a really, really ascending player, and these are really, really top signings for any MLS club, and for them to be Atlanta and get both of them in the same transfer window would be like unprecedented in this league.
Yeah, and the other thing, and we're going to move on to Ohio State, but I will say this. I think if you can add those two, you also unlock Alexi Maranchuk in a way that you really
Absolutely.
Weren't able to this past season. He had some troubles adjusting to the league, and it just didn't quite get going. But you could see the vision, and you could see the touch from him. It just didn't necessarily connect. You had those two guys along with Saba, and you could buckle up and game on. All right, Joe, I've heard you the past couple days talking about it. Ohio State, Notre Dame tonight. Now, I want to correct one thing you said, I believe it was on Saturday. You felt like Ohio State was going to throttle the Florida Gators back in 06.
I did.
A lot of people were on your side, and I just didn't see it then. Like, I really didn't. Like, that was a wild take to believe Ohio State was going to throttle Florida. It remains a wild take. Tonight,
was not
though,
a wild take at all.
I know. You 41-14 tells me it was. anyways, you're feeling pretty good a couple of days ago about Ohio State's chances in this game. But it's game day. And, like, sometimes people wake up on game day and, like, their positivity completely flips or whatever. Are you still pretty comfortable? Are you still amped up? Or do you need a teddy bear to watch the game with tonight?
I'm just trying to enjoy myself so far today, Abe. In fact, I've already gone back and just watched some of the highlights. I watched the highlights from the 2003 National Championship, where that Ohio State beat the Miami Hurricanes in an incredible game, and it's amazing to just go back and see all like the NFL greats that were playing in that game.
Sure.
Mainly, most of which were for the Miami side, and how amazing and incredibly talented that Miami team was. But, yeah, I've just been going back and just kind of reliving some of the past memories of some of our glories
You can watch the opening kickoff from 06 and then turn that game off.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly. Watch the touchdown return, and then that's it. The game over. Yeah.
Even on that play, they missed the hole.
You remember that?
I'm a Florida fan. I can rattle off like the first 30 plays of that game from script. So, we'll make sure all the Notre Dame players have helmets on when they sack the quarterback tonight. All right.
Okay.
I do think, by the way, Ohio State wins. I think it's going to be very close and competitive. You're probably going to be stressed out. I got a touchdown late for the Buckeyes makes it a two-possession game. Okay?
Hey, I'll take it. I'll take it, Abe. Thank you.
There you go. Joe, appreciate the time, as always. 92.9 The Game Falcons reporter and insider. We'll let him go, and he might have to start pouring the drinks a little early to beat.
Yeah.
The nerves, man. The nerves, they creep
That's
up
right.
on you as the game
exactly.
time gets closer.
Yeah.
Yeah. He'll get his 10,000 steps in during game time. Thanks a lot, Joe. Appreciate it.
All right.
When we come back here, it is time for the noon hour. We're going to continue talking about college football, but I want to look to 2020. Well, it is 2025, but this is still the 2024 season, technically. I want to look to the 2025 season. The Georgia Bulldogs, should they be title favorites? They're pretty darn high up there right now. We'll talk about what they've got coming back, what some of the other teams have coming back, and if they should be title favorites. All that coming your way in the noon hour. It's Abe Gordon, Playoff Fan Central, Sports Radio 929 The Game, and the Odyssey app.